Welcome to the brain's inner explorer. I'm particularly fascinated by the pineal gland because, well, it's so central to our sleep, yet shrouded in this mystical history.
It really is. I mean, it's this tiny gland, but it plays such an oversized role, not just biologically, but as you said, in spirituality too.
Exactly. So the pineal gland, often called the third eye, is this small endocrine gland in the brain. It's shaped like a pine cone, hence the name. And its primary function? Melatonin production.
Right. Melatonin, that serotonin-derived hormone, it modulates our sleep patterns following those daily light-dark cycles. It's why we're sleepy at night and, well, hopefully awake during the day.
It's fascinating how light exposure actually inhibits melatonin production. The light, it hits the retina, signals the suprachiasmatic nucleus, a sort of master clock, and eventually tells the pineal gland to, put the brakes on the melatonin.
Yeah, that pathway is pretty complex. Retina, retinohypothalamic tract, paraventricular nucleus, spinal cord, superior cervical ganglia, and finally, the pineal gland. It's like a biological relay race.
It is. And the interesting thing is, unlike most of the brain, the pineal gland isn't shielded by the blood-brain barrier. It has direct contact with the bloodstream.
Which makes sense given its role in distributing hormones throughout the body. It's not just a local actor, it's influencing things system-wide.
Precisely. Now, the historical and cultural aspects are where things get really interesting. Ancient philosophers like Galen, they saw it as a valve regulating vital spirits. And then Descartes.
Descartes, he called it the principal seat of the soul, didn't he? Such a mystical view.
He did. He believed that all our thoughts originated there. Of course, modern science has a different perspective, but it's remarkable how this tiny gland captivated thinkers for centuries.
It speaks to the power of an unknown, I think. We're drawn to these mysteries, especially when they're located in the very center of our being, like the pineal gland.
So Descartes calling the pineal gland the seat of the soul, that's quite a statement, isn't it?
It is. Almost makes you wonder what he might have thought about modern research showing its connection to, say, seasonal affective disorder. I mean, mood regulation tied to a gland once associated with the soul? That's a pretty compelling narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just Descartes, right? Cultures across history have attributed all sorts of mystical properties to the pineal gland, the third eye concept, for instance.
Oh, definitely. That idea of a connection to higher consciousness or spiritual insight, it's fascinating how persistent that is.
It really are. But what's striking to me is how, even with modern science, there's still so much we don't fully understand about the pineal gland.
You're right. We know about melatonin and its role in sleep, but what about the intricacies of its relationship to other hormones and systems in the body?
Exactly. And the fact that it's not shielded by the blood-brain barrier, that's unusual, right? What are the implications of that direct contact with the bloodstream?
Well, it certainly suggests a wider influence beyond just regulating our sleep-wake cycle, perhaps a role in immune function or even influencing our response to stress.
Interesting. I've read some research suggesting a possible link between pineal calcification and neurodegenerative diseases. Have you come across that?
I have. It's a complex area, and the research is still ongoing, but it does raise questions about the long-term health implications of potential pineal dysfunction.
It does. And then there's the whole area of, pineal gland research in other species. It's not just a human thing, right? Animals use melatonin for all sorts of things, from regulating seasonal breeding to.
Dot time navigation in some birds. It's remarkable how versatile this tiny gland is across the animal kingdom. It makes you wonder if we've barely scratched the surface of understanding its full potential.
So we were talking about the pineal gland and its still somewhat mysterious nature, even with all the research that's been done. This whole melatonin connection, though, it's really fascinating how it all unfolded.
It really is. I mean, who would have thought that research into skin lightening would lead to the discovery of a hormone so crucial to our sleep? It's a testament to scientific serendipity, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. Starting with Lerner isolating melatonin from bovine pineal glands in the 50s, initially for its skin lightening properties. That's amazing. And then the name itself, melatonin, coming from the Greek words for black or dark and suppress, it perfectly captures its initial purpose.
It's like a little window into the history of scientific thought, and then Lynch's work in the 70s demonstrating its circadian rhythm in humans, that was a game changer. Suddenly, this skin lightening agent becomes a key player in regulating our sleep-wake cycle.
Right. And it's so deeply connected to our biological clocks, influencing everything from seasonal breeding in animals to, well, you mentioned navigation in birds earlier. It's incredible.
It really is. And the fact that it's found throughout the animal kingdom, from vertebrates to, well, with the exception of cetaceans, apparently, that's a curious anomaly, isn't it? Losing the genes for both melatonin synthesis and its receptors?
It is. It makes you wonder about the evolutionary pressures that led to that. But getting back to humans, Wertmann's patent for melatonin as a sleep aid in the 90s, that really brought it into the mainstream, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's fascinating how something that was initially studied for its impact on skin pigmentation became a widely available sleep aid. It's like a perfect example of how scientific discoveries can have unforeseen applications.
Mm-hmm.
I see. And the fact that the pineal gland produces such a small amount, around 30 micrograms daily, yet has such a profound impact, it emphasizes how potent this hormone really is, doesn't it?
It does. And it makes you wonder about those intricacies we were talking about earlier, its relationship with other hormones, its role in immune function, the implications of that direct contact with the bloodstream. It's like peeling back the layers of an onion, each layer revealing more complexity. And the fact that it's even found in plants, I mean, mind-blowing.
Plants. That's right, we almost skipped over that. From coffee and tea to cereals and even beer, it's everywhere. It makes you question what role it plays in the plant kingdom. Protecting against stress, regulating growth, it seems to be multifaceted there too.
It does, and it challenges our initial understanding of melatonin as primarily an animal neurohormone. It's like nature has this secret language it uses across different kingdoms of life. Melatonin seems to be one of those shared whispers.
So reflecting on everything we've discussed about the pineal gland, it's remarkable how much we know, and yet how much remains a mystery.
It really is. We've gone from Descartes' seat of the soul to a scientific understanding of melatonin production and its impact on sleep, but there are still so many unanswered questions.
Mm. Yeah. Like its role in mood regulation, the implications of not being shielded by the blood-brain barrier, the connection to neurodegenerative diseases. It's a complex puzzle.
Definitely. And what about its presence in plants? That throws another wrench into our understanding, doesn't it?
Mm.
It expands the role of melatonin beyond just animal physiology.
Yeah. It does. And the evolutionary perspective, why would cetaceans lose the ability to produce and respond to melatonin? Fascinating.
It is. It suggests that while crucial for many species, melatonin might not be essential for all, or perhaps it's been replaced by another mechanism in cetaceans. We just don't know.
Right. And then there's the serendipitous journey of melatonin discovery, from a skin lightening agent to a widely used sleep aid. Who would have predicted that?
It highlights how scientific exploration can lead to unexpected breakthroughs. And speaking of breakthroughs, I'm curious about the future of pineal gland research. What are the most promising avenues?
Well, I think understanding the intricacies of its relationship to other hormones and systems in the body is key. Also, further investigation into the potential link between pineal calcification and neurodegenerative diseases could be incredibly valuable.
Absolutely. And perhaps exploring its role in other species could shed light on its functions in humans, too.
Yeah. I agree. It's a tiny gland with an outsized impact, and I have a feeling we're only just beginning to grasp its full significance.
I think you're right. It's a field ripe for discovery, and I, for one, am eager to see what the future holds. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on the Brain Center Explorer.